Welcome back to The Daily Poem, a podcast from Goldberry Studios. I'm Sean Johnson, and today is Monday, April 22nd, 2024. And it's the birthday of Nobel laureate and former U.S. poet laureate Louise Glick, rhymes with click. Glick died just last year at the age of 80. The poem is called The Wild Iris. And it seemed like a perfectly appropriate poem, not only for the beginning of spring, but for reading on the birthday of the poet. I'll read it once, offer a few comments, and then read it again. The Wild Iris. At the end of my suffering, there was a door. Hear me out. That which you call death, I remember. Overhead, noises, branches of the pine shifting, then nothing. The weak sun flickered over the dry surface. It is terrible to survive as consciousness buried in the dark earth. Then it was over. That which you fear, being a soul and unable to speak, ending abruptly, the stiff earth bending a little, and what I took to be birds darting in low shrubs. You who do not remember, passage from the other world, I tell you, I could speak again. Whatever returns from oblivion returns to find a voice. From the center of my life came a great fountain, deep blue shadows on azure seawater. On its surface, this poem is very much about a flower, the iris being a perennial flower. There are two varieties of iris, a bulb variety and a non-bulb variety, a rhizome variety, but both go dormant after their flowering season and then return the following year. So the iris, if it could talk, would have a unique perspective to offer about the cycles of life. Every springtime is a time of rebirth that follows a time of death and dormancy. It has been compared to theological cycles like death and resurrection, other natural images like the snake shedding its skin, or more mythically, the snake devouring its own tail in this kind of unending cycle. Here, though, the iris speaks to us about the deeper significances of passing into a kind of wintry grave every year and coming out again, an experience that parallels some human experiences, but that we typically only get to have once. Men only die once. Hamlet calls death the country from whose born no traveler returns. And then at the end of the poem, we're reminded that we also don't have a memory of coming into this world, and that the iris can shed some light on that too. Hear me out, it says in the second stanza, which begins as a kind of plea for sympathy or common cause. I know I'm making a wild claim here, but trust me, it gets better. But by the end of the poem, that invitation or petition takes on another significance too. When in the penultimate stanza, speaker, the iris, describes coming back into the world, coming out of death, it says, whatever returns from oblivion returns to find a voice. So then we circle back, appropriately, to the beginning of the poem, where the iris isn't just asking us to listen and trust, but is desiring to be heard on a deeper, more fundamental level. Hear me out. Draw me out by hearing me. That which you call death, I remember. And it's
terrifying. Going into the ground is not even an analogy for going into the grave. It's the same thing as going into the grave. And that which you fear, being a soul and unable to speak. But abruptly it comes to an end. And though we do not ourselves remember the passage from the other world into this, the experience of becoming an ensouled being, entering into the world, the iris tells us what's great about that too. Whatever returns from oblivion or whatever comes into being comes to find a voice. And with that voice, there's a kind of richness of life, an overflowing abundance. From the center of my life came a great fountain, deep blue shadows on azure seawater. And lastly, once you've spent some time with this poem, I think it becomes easier to see in it also something of the analog or the parallel in the poet's life, or in any human life, where someone might wrestle with depression or other kinds of sorrow that come in waves or in cycles. There are troughs and dark nights of the soul that one enters into, and when you're in it, it feels crushing and perhaps unending. That which you fear, being a soul and unable to speak. But that too is a thing that has an end, even if you can't see it when you're in it. And God willing, the soul emerges from those darknesses and from those depths back into the light, back into the world where they can drink again from that inexhaustible source of life, the great fountain of deep blue shadows on azure seawater. What a poem. Here it is one more time. At the end of my suffering, there was a door. Hear me out. That which you call death, I remember. Overhead, noises, branches of the pine shifting, then nothing. A weak sun flickered over the dry surface. It is terrible to survive as consciousness buried in the dark earth. Then it was over. That which you fear, being a soul and unable to speak, ending abruptly, the stiff earth bending a little, and what I took to be birds darting in low shrubs. You who do not remember passage from the other world, I tell you, I could speak again. Whatever returns from oblivion returns to find a voice. From the center of my life came a great fountain, deep blue shadows on azure seawater. This has been the Daily Poem. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another poem for you. To listen to past episodes or to support this show, please visit dailypoempod.substack.com. It is a great pleasure to put the Daily Poem together for all of you. Thank you for your continual support and encouragements, your engagements on Substack and elsewhere, the conversations with me and those of us at Goldberry Studios who are behind the Daily Poem, but also with each other. Continue to seek out and bring to those you love great poems. And if we can help, we're happy to do it. On behalf of our whole team at Goldberry, I'm Sean Johnson. Until next time, happy reading.